I appreciated the words about silence, particularly because I realize, as I transition into the message, that the person that I often have the hardest time facing is myself. It's coming face to face with who I am, face to face with what's going on within me. And maybe you do, maybe you don't, I don't know. But that's why we distract ourselves at times. We distract ourselves with noise. We distract ourselves with activity. We distract ourselves with stuff. This morning I got into the car and I had the radio on and had the news on, and I just found myself feeling like I just don't want to hear anything anymore. I'm not trying to avoid it, but I just needed to listen to only one person or one thing. And so, yes, silence can be beautiful and beneficial that way. So thank you for those words. So speaking of facing ourselves from blind spots, so sometimes when I'm driving, I'll hear the honk of a horn that reminds me I've drifted a bit. Linda calls me a drifter. I drift when I drive. Kind of get over to the lane, the line a little bit, kind of back again. And I am fiddling with the radio. I'm looking at something over here, but I'll hear the honk of a car. And I don't do this intentionally. I just haven't paid attention to what they call that blind spot. Every car has them. These blind spots are those areas around the side of your car that can't be picked up with your side mirror. So often you have to turn to your right and look over there. You have to turn to your left and look over there to see what is in your blind spot. And once you're able to see, you're able to make the change you want to make. And not paying attention to those blind spots while driving can put us at risk of a fender bender, can put us at risk of an angry driver, can put us at risk of even a wreck. Now, in thinking about these blind spots in my driving caused me to reflect upon the blind spots that have at times surfaced in my life. Now, these blind spots are places in my soul that lack my attention and my awareness. And these are areas that need my attention, but they often go unnoticed. And sometimes, I will say very honestly, sometimes the result has been a wreck. So for example, I've wrecked a few relationships in my life, or I've wrecked someone's trust because I haven't paid attention to my blind spot. I've wrecked sometimes any progress I've made in my own maturity or personal growth because I haven't paid attention to those blind spots. Sometimes I've wrecked opportunities which would have opened doors for me or helped me in terms of moving forward in my life. And thankfully, none of those wrecks were fatal. But in other words, these and others, they distinguished or they extinguished all possibilities for the future. So I've had a few wrecks in my life due to blind spots. I often wonder if they could have been avoided, if they could have been prevented, and I think most of them could have been. And it's in those moments of wondering that I've been able to identify other areas in which I've created my own blind spots, other areas where I've caused a wreck or put myself at risk, and here's a few more. And by the way, at some point, if you want to share some of yours with mine, I'm completely open. I create my own blind spots when I'm going too fast through life. Just going boom, boom, boom. I'm not looking around me. When you're going too fast in a car, not checking left or right, you're just going down the road and everything is in a hurry. I don't slow down long enough to reflect. I've created blind spots when my need to be right is much greater than the value I put on the relationship, and I end up being blinded by my own arrogance. Sometimes I've been blinded by my own neediness. Now that's a little bit different, a little bit more tougher to define, but it's like this. I need someone to approve of me. I need someone to fill the hole in my soul. I need someone to take away this inner loneliness. I need someone to validate my existence. So I've been blinded by that. And the only reason this person ever exists in my life, or people may exist, is because they have to fill what I need. And sometimes I've been blinded by my own anger and resentment. I don't want to see that of God or anything good in the other person. I just want to see what they've done to me. I've been blinded by my own personal brokenness, my blind spots. I choose to self-medicate, numb my pain, rather than seek out what would move me towards wholeness. And when that happens, these blind spots sometimes show up as attachments or addictions, and they keep us from facing what we need to face. And then there are times I've created my own blind spots through moments of dishonesty or lack of integrity. Rather than courageously risking all that, there's times I've opted to bend the truth in my direction to make me look good, or at least to avoid hard conversations. Now, I'm not venting. I'm not confessing. I'm just telling you I have had these blind spots. and sometimes I still have them. And in some ways, when I wrote this down, it did my heart good to look at this and to realize I still have a long ways to go. Now, I call these blind spots, or I also like to call them just getting in my own way, and that is often the case, that we're more apt to get in our own way than someone or something getting in our own way. We're more apt to create our own blind spots and be the cause of our own wrecks. Now, to be sure, there's probably been times where people have wrecked their own life, and we've been part of that as well. But the stark reality is that the blind spots are sometimes on us. And getting in our own way can sometimes be on us. You look at the record of Scripture. Folks who have caused wreckage in their own lives because of blind spots. In the Old Testament, there was King Saul, whose jealousy and insecurity around David sabotaged his own leadership. There was David himself, who literally his boredom, his loneliness, and his arrogance blinded him, led him to make the devastating choice of adultery with Bathsheba, and then on top of that, to murder her husband. There was King Solomon, who lust for power, greed, and making a name for himself blinded him to his own wisdom, and God's wisdom led to his downfall and led to the ruin of his reign. And just person after person after person, the nation of Israel, blinded by their own arrogance and lack of compassion for the needy and those around them, the oppressed. And then there were the disciples, blinded by their own hate, blinded by the fact that they wanted to overthrow the Romans simply through violence, that they wanted to set up their own kingdoms. And then there's Jesus, who invites them to be peacemakers, to go the extra mile in compassion. Now, here's the thing. This is all probably sounding very pessimistic or dismal, but it's not meant to be, and it shouldn't be, if we remember this and hold on to this reality. And this is what I hold on to every day, that God honors our best intentions toward living toward our best self. God honors our best intentions to become our best self. In other words, there is much that God can do in my life, and there is much that God does do in my life. But there's much that Scott can do as well to cooperate with what God is doing in my life, to move in that direction, to move toward who God is creating me to be. In fact, it's God's intent, I think, that we no longer live in these blind spots, that we live with eyes wide open through God's grace and presence that enables us. As we heard in Isaiah this morning, quote, "I, the Lord, have called you for a good reason. I'll grasp your hand and guard you, give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to lead prisoners from prison, and those who sit in darkness from the dungeon." In other words, God intends, I think, to lead us out of our own darkness and blindness so we, in turn, can be a light to our world and lead our world out of its own blindness. That God is creating this new world. God is doing something new in our time. This has always been God's intent. God has never stopped recreating. God has never stopped mending this broken world. But when we sabotage our own self with our blind spots, and when we cause our own wreckage, I am not able to participate in what God is doing. And God, I believe, wants to heal that, help us see what God sees, so we in turn can be that light to the world itself. Our world needs people who can see. Our world needs people who are not blinded by their own greed, insecurities, and lust for power. Our world needs people who are willing to open their eyes to the needs around them. Our world needs a people willing to live their best selves so our world has a chance of being its best self. And I know this is a tall order, but it can be done. And even as imperfect as we are, God can remake us and reform us even in our imperfections. You know, sitting here in the silence, as it was already indicated, one of the things that I always take away with that silence is I can just in that moment be. I don't have to be anything other than what I am in that moment. I don't have to produce. I don't have to construct something. I don't have to create something. I don't have to be something I'm not. I can just be. And it's in that moment that I realize that that's the being that God completely loves, that God completely embraces, and that God wants to make whole, and that God wants to renew. One author, Joanne Chisholm, writes this. She goes, "We can be perfectly loving and perfectly willing and perfectly committed to the will of God, but we will not be perfectly perfect all the time." Now, that should be great permission for some of us that are trying to be perfectly perfect all the time. And then she adds this, "We will all fall and get up, and we will fall and get up. And then we will fall out and get up time and time and time, and we'll find our way through life one fall at a time, one stone wall at a time, one blind spot at a time, one misunderstanding at a time, one fear at a time, one more bit of arrogance toppled, one more bit of self-doubt confirmed at a time. And it's all about getting back up in the grace of God. Lee read in our text this morning from Isaiah, and again, these words, "He will not break a bruised reed. He will not extinguish a faint wick." That, in other words, God is not always out to catch us doing something wrong. That God's grace builds on what little light and life we offer and carries us into that wholeness. Even when we are bruised of spirit, even when we feel the light in our soul is burning dim and about to go out, even when we feel so broken that we're sure we're beyond repair, that our heart hurts so much it's hard to see how we may ever feel joy again, even when we are in those places, God comes alongside and takes us as we are and lovingly moves us towards who we can become. Eugene Peterson is an author who has paraphrased the Bible in a translation called The Message, and this is how he defines or how he paraphrases these words. Quote, "God will not brush aside the bruised and the hurt and will not disregard the small and insignificant, but he'll steadily and firmly set things right. The God who created the cosmos, stretched out the skies, laid out the earth and all that grows in it, who breathes life into earth's people, he makes them alive with his own life. I am God. I have called you to live right. I have called you to live well." I can't imagine anything more powerful for me, anything more powerful for us, to know that there is someone in this universe that is spending all their time making sure and wanting us to live at our best, to help you and I live well, taking everything about us and everything that we are and remaking it and reshaping it, showing us who we are. Not because in some ways God is trying to catch us doing something wrong, but if I don't know what I need to know, then how can I address it? How can I do something about it? So here's some questions I want to offer you this morning to reflect upon. And then we'll just take a few moments. First, what are the blind spots in your life that have caused some wreckage in your life? And this might be one of those moments where you only need to own up to you, but a moment where you're willing to name it so you can begin to address it. What are the blind spots in your life? Those places that have caused wreckage maybe in the past or maybe even now. Second, how are you getting in your own way? Now, these are the areas in our life that continually trip us up, and they're obstacles to our own wholeness and growth, and they're often areas that we can do something about if we're willing to do something about, but how am I getting in my own way? How might you be getting in your own way? The third is this: what is the bruising of your soul or the brokenness of your heart, to use the language from Isaiah? And I think it's important to be able to see our bruising and brokenness with open eyes, because as you've often heard me say before, pain that is not transformed is often transmitted. So when we hear the word transform, don't think quick fix, but think process. Think the transformation of a caterpillar to a butterfly. You have this caterpillar that eats and eats and eats and eats, and then all of a sudden this caterpillar forms literally into this chrysalis around it and literally becomes nothing but a pile of goo. It's just a liquid goo. And out of that liquid goo, it is then transformed into something beyond words, beyond imagination. A black swallowtail, a yellow swallowtail, a monarch butterfly, whatever it may be, but it goes through that transformation, that process. So think that. And I have often learned in hindsight that my pain can be transformed into something beautiful if I give it time and allow God's grace to transform the mess. The fourth question is this: what emotions and feelings and woundedness lie just beneath the surface of my life and need just a little bit of excavating and processing? In other words, is there anger? Is there resentment? Is there grief? Is there sadness? Is there disappointment? Is there regret? Just to name a few. But have I buried some of these? Have I chosen to ignore them but then they'll find their way back into my daily responses and reactions. But what emotions, feelings, and woundedness lie just beneath the surface and need excavating and need a little bit of processing. And then the last thing is this, not as much a challenge, but a question. So what do you have to lose by opening yourself up to the healing and all-embracing love of God? What do you have to lose? You say this, but I can't see God during the day, but maybe we're expecting God to show up in a way that we expect. But maybe God as love shows up in a whole lot of other ways, through the help of a friend, through the comfort of family and friends, through peace and calm during a difficult time, through the feel of a new day when the previous days have not gone so well, through this fresh start after some bad endings, through the beauty of small moments that invigorate your soul, through unexpected laughter that brings joy to your soul, maybe through a good night's rest that you haven't had in a long time. Maybe God's love just shows up in ways that we didn't expect. But what do you have to lose by opening yourself up to the healing and all-embracing love and presence of God? But here's that verse I started with this morning out of Romans chapter 8, and then we'll just take a few more minutes to reflect. Paul writes, "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." Think about those words. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. In other words, the extremes of life, nothing separates us from God's all-embracing love for us. Not even the powers of hell. Not even the things that feel like they come from the most painful, hurtful, hellish places. Not even that can separate us from God's love. Because I think it's in God's love that God says to me, and I believe God says to all of us, "I want what is best for your heart and for your soul, so you can be who you are as best as you can be in this world. And that's what I want for you."